All right, here we are. It is the final Reporter's Corner season preview. I'm one half of your co-host, Jared Urbato with the Bemidji Pioneer. With me is the better half of the co-host, Trent Singer from Sioux Falls Live. Trent, how are we doing today?
In the words of the great Shania Twain, it looks like we made it. Look how far we've come, my baby. Because we have finally wrapped up our season previews. We've talked to every correspondent across the league that we could put together, and they've all been great. This last one was great, too. I mean,
a crack team, some would say.
Honestly. Legitimately, and Tech Hockey Guide owes us some money, I think, now. we talked with Avery Dotson, who is now a contributor. I just announced today, actually, that he will be contributing in their Youper Scoop series that they're putting together, coverage of the Lake State Lakers. And, you know, a great time for them to get somebody to write about this program. I mean, Jerry, we've talked about it on CCHA Day. We talked about it on the CCHA show. This is a program that's invested a lot. You know, they just got an anonymous $1 million recurring donation every year for this program. They've added some pieces in their, you know, in their room for scouting and whatnot. And they've obviously invested in Damon Witten, who is now the second longest tenured coach in this conference, by extending him through the 2032-2033 season. So, a lot going on up in Sault Ste. Marie, and it's an intriguing team coming back. You know, I believe there's 11 newcomers on this year's team. That includes 4 transfers and 7 freshmen. And it's an intriguing team. You know, they're being projected in the bottom half of this conference. And Jared, we talked about it on this show. It wouldn't surprise me if this Lake State team is, you know, a contender when it's all said and done, or a team that is vying for that home ice spot. So we ran through the gamut. We talked with him about the strengths and weaknesses. We talked about, you know, who some points leaders might be. You know, and Avery has a little bit of a background too with this program and being a former equipment manager too. So, you know, shared a little bit of the insight and what he thinks will be some of the standouts for this team, both returners and amongst these newcomers, these 11 newcomers on this team, some guys who might contribute right away. And of course, we asked him which series he's looking forward to the most, you know, and kind of how the Lakers fit into the CCHA at large, and who he likes to kind of contend in the CCHA this season. So it was a great chat. And honestly, they've all been good chats, Jared. I've really had a good time talking with everybody, and I you know, I give Tech Hockey Guy crap, but we couldn't do it without them too. They help us out so much. And obviously, go back and listen to the Michigan Tech episode. You can listen to the Northern Michigan episode, which we just recently did as well. And they've all been good ones. I mean, everybody we've had on for these season preview episodes, we thank all of you for coming on. And you know, season's what, 10 days away, Jared? I mean, it is right around the corner, man. When this comes out,
I think 8 days, or yeah, 7 days away. Yeah, because this will come out on Friday. Really cool how we were able to get so many people to want to come in and talk about their favorite team or a team they cover. It's kind of important to us to feature all kinds of different people with different backgrounds and different perspectives on, you know, how they cover their teams or how they follow their teams. And I think it was really cool that we had such an eclectic mix. It starts with, you know, one of the more buttoned up and formal guys in DB. And then we go to Alex Micheletti, who was awesome. Harrison Watt and all of his Bob Daniel stories. A tandem and Jack Hittinger and Lucas Pipenhagen. We got into student media with Nate Burkett. Evan Gary from Northern Michigan was an outstanding guest. One of my favorite episodes we've ever done was with Tim Brown and Matt Cavender with Tech Hockey Guide. Ryan Stieg had incredible things to say. That episode dropped today. We're recording this on Wednesday. And then this one with Avery Dotson was awesome too. And just a wide-ranging mix of people that gave a really, really good perspective on what this league has to offer and conflicting viewpoints on where the league is headed in terms of who finishes where in this league too. But it was really, really cool to go through and touch on each team.
I do also want to say, let's give, if you can, give Avery, give Evan a follow on Twitter.
Yeah.
NMUYB, VLSSUYB. I mean, you could follow these guys. These guys are locked into recruiting circles, man. I mean, we asked Evan a little bit about it, but they literally do scour like Instagram and stuff and just try to find those followers and those guys who might be, you know, indicating where they're going. I think Lucas does something similar too with Bemidji State, and we lean heavily on that kind of stuff too, because it gives us insight on where these guys are headed. We don't necessarily have the time or resources to be following around on Instagram all the time. Maybe we should start figuring out how the hell they're doing it, Jared. But this is a great chat, and I guess we've wasted enough of your time. Here's our interview with Avery Dotson. All right, our final episode for the season previews is here. We got a fun one. It's another, Jared, we've had a couple people that we have never met or talked to that we've done with these, and they've both gone great. And I get a feeling we're going to have another good one here with Avery Dotson. Just announced today, actually, is the newest contributor for Tech Hockey Guide, which I think is so cool. Tech Hockey Guide, I encourage everybody to go over there and read their stuff. And obviously, they're providing some more coverage for the schools in the UP. Avery, how are you doing, man? How's everything going up there in Sault Ste. Marie?
It's going pretty good. I'm definitely excited for this opportunity, both from you guys and from Tech Hockey Guide. And, I'm really looking forward to the season and how it's going to pan out.
Yeah, just, let's start with you a little bit before we get into the Lakers. How did you get involved with Lake State Hockey? I mean, what did it just start as like a fan thing? And now you're like, you took a passion in it and you want to write? Like, give us kind of the background there.
Well, it kind of obviously started, I'm a Sioux native, so just naturally a Laker fan. And I started pre-COVID because I wasn't really that much of a hockey guy. But then I can remember it like it was yesterday. My first ever game was Lake State against Alabama Huntsville. And that went to overtime. And then it went to the shootout. And they won it in the shootout, 1-0. So that's like quite the introduction to hockey as a whole. But that's what kind of kickstarted the whole thing. And then I attended Lake State from 2021, and I just graduated in May. And it was back in 22. The old student manager, Danny Kinnear, he left. He was going to serve at Mankato. And then Wes DeYoung, he posted the job opportunity, and I saw that, and I jumped on it. And, we had a good connection, and unfortunately he passed away that summer. But
oh man,
yeah, it was definitely a toll on the program, but he's overall a great guy, and that was my end. And Danny came back from Mankato, and he served for a couple of years, and then I worked under Alex Werner last year, and he was a great guy as well. And that's I just been enamored with the program ever since.
Yeah, and it's an interesting program, right? I mean, and I think the place to start too, and before we get into the nitty gritty of who has what points, which player breaks out, is I think Lake State had, is it safe to say, Trent, a transformational offseason in terms of where the program is going and how they're reshaping things?
100%.
And it started with the anonymous $1 million donation, which I believe was directly for hockey purposes only. And you couple that with they restructured their staff. I know Damon Witten had incredible things to say about how differently their staff looks in terms of duty roles and assignments going into the season. But they hire a quasi general manager, and it's kind of the start of a new era, despite there being a familiar face at the helm now that Damon Witten is, I believe, the second longest tenured coach in the CCHA. So, Avery, for you, when you see all of these things happen in the offseason and we start to look at the direction Lake State is trying to go in, where do you see some of these impacts being the most felt in terms of this anonymous donation, the GM, and just the outlook of this program?
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to improve the program over the next 2 to 3 years, because that was just a bombshell out of nowhere. But it's definitely a welcome bombshell, to say the least. But kind of the whole thing, just that's going to help with recruiting down the road, and definitely the GM as well. It was Eric Soltis, but I just found out the other day that he is no longer doing it. The assistant coach from last year, Ryan Shelley, is jumped into that role. So that was kind of quiet on the down low. I really wasn't aware of that until I looked into it recently, but it's definitely going to help in the long run.
Yeah, and even as of a week ago, it didn't sound like there was any official change there. But I think that kind of brings us into the Lakers as a whole, right? And it was a tough season last year. I think what sticks out for me was when you have your best player, Connor Milburn, suffer some of the injuries he did, and it was tough to keep him in the lineup and get him going consistently. It kind of reflected on where they stood in the rankings at eighth place. But it is a good group that they bring back. I think there's a lot of promise here. And so we'll start with this. It's just, it might be the obvious question, but who leads Lake State in points this year?
I think that's going to be a highly contested point, but I definitely, it's either going to be Connor Milburn or, you know, the new guy, Kalen Mangone out of the Saginaw Spirit, because the stats he was putting up down there is kind of mind blowing as well. Now, obviously, he played a lot more games than these college guys do, but he is definitely one that you need to keep an eye on.
Yeah, Kalen Mangone, well, like you said, 90 points in 70 games, 35 goals, 55 assists for the Saginaw Spirit, Memorial Cup champion Saginaw Spirit, that is, too. But let's talk a little bit about Connor Milburn. I think he is still the most underrated player in this league. The way coaches talk about him of just being impossible to defend with his size, his speed, and his skill, when he's on, he is one of the best forwards in this league. Just how important is a guy like Milburn in just making this team go and getting them to click?
Yeah, I definitely think he's probably going to be the captain this year. He just has that leadership ability about him, and then all of his stats and just the way he produces on the ice, like you said, it's definitely unmatched. And if he is able to escape the injuries this year, I think he's definitely going to produce and be a force to be reckoned with.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Avery, because you have a little bit of a backseat with this program too, and you know, obviously working as an equipment manager and knowing some of the ins and outs and whatnot. When you kind of look at this team, I mean, what they've assembled, and obviously, you know, they lose some names. We'll go through that a little bit here. They lose Dawson Tritt, 17-point guy from last season. Nate Schweitzer was a defenseman, had 18 points for him last season. Timo Backos, just a very skilled forward that is no longer with the team anymore. He graduated. And then Jacob Conrad transferred to Minnesota State. Those are their biggest losses. But like you said, you got guys like Connor Milburn back in the lineup. Sasha Teleguin's back. Luke Lewandowski's back. Evan Bushy's back. Rourke Appleby, who was forced into a lot of action because of injuries in the net, he's back. And then they add some some pieces in net as well. You know, where do you see, kind of looking at this team, what are some of the strengths, and are there any areas that you can identify as weaknesses amongst this Lake State team? I mean, just kind of based on the roster that we have.
Definitely the strengths is going to be those front guys on the ice, you know, Mangone and Milburn, all those guys. It's just going to be, they're going to be fighting for each other to see who's going to get that top line spot. But I think the weakness of the past few years has definitely been our goaltending, because, you know, going back a couple years, it was split between
Ethan Langenegger
and Easton Hess, and
yep.
It was definitely a blow to the program when Langenegger went to Clarkson. And obviously, you know, Grant Riley last year, he suffered that early season injury and he just never came back, you know, and it got so desperate that they needed to pull up an Acha guy. So I think that goaltending is on the up and up, to say the least.
I miss Ethan Langenegger in the CCHA as a goalie guy. He gave so many fits to so many teams, and he was just such a big, quick kid. But I thought there was a lot to like out of Rourke Appleby, like you said, right? I mean, they're throwing him to the wolves, and they didn't have a choice. But to show that much poise in so many spots as a freshman seemed really, really encouraging, and it was really cool to see him get some end of the year recognition too on that all CCHA freshman. He was a rookie team member, correct?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Yep. So, we're going to start with this one too. And we're going to limit it to just existing returners, right? Like, let's leave the freshmen and the transfers out of it. Who do you see as some guys that could really have a breakout year? And some, you know, maybe they just showed flashes last year, but not really the consistency, but they're poised to take a big step forward.
Yeah, I think on the defensive side, my guess would be Jack Blanchett. He's only played in 6 games last year. He didn't put up any points, but you know, I think he's definitely someone who could probably shine. And for forwards, I would definitely probably say probably Carter Batchelder or the other one I'm looking at here.
Yeah, Batchelder, definitely. I mean, I remember him popping up, I think, towards the end of the season in some big moments, too.
Yeah. I would like to see Everett Pietola pop off just because that Pietola name is kind of well-known in the UP.
Oh, yeah.
But definitely my last one would definitely be John Harrington. You know, 36 games, total 18 points last year. I think it's definitely on the up and up.
I'll throw another name out there, too, that really, really intrigues me this year, and it's Johnny Jerskinis. And I think, again, you look at a guy who had some flashes last year, and he was certainly one of them. And I think if they're able to just find consistency weekend to weekend with a guy like that, it really elevates that blue line to another level. You know, we saw a lot of really good things last year out of Evan Bushy. 14 assists. He had 14 points without a goal, but you know, a couple times he got thrown into player of the week categories, and so there is a lot to like, you know, on this blue line. And if they're able to just get a little bit more offensively out of Jerskinis with the profile he has, that seems like a really, really good spot for another breakout player. But let's kick it to the freshman and the portal guys. And you talked about Callum Mangone. Outside of him, who are some of the guys you like that came into this program in the offseason to really take a big step in their rookie seasons with the Lakers this year?
I think the other ones I highlighted was Ryan Beck, Hunter Ramos, and then Pearson Sobush. Pearson, he had 53 points in 57 games played. And then, you know, Ramos, he jumped around to a couple different teams last year. And then Ryan Beck, I highlighted him. He came from Colorado College. He didn't have a lot of play time last year, but if you look at his 2 years prior, he definitely was producing on the point side of things. So I think if he can get back into the groove, he can definitely help out the team.
Another name I want to throw out there too. I mean, Luke Antonacci played for a really good Maine team last year. Mm-hmm. He's a senior, provides a little veteran leadership on that blue line too. He only had 4 points, maybe more of a stay-at-home guy. He's a plus 10, like I said, on a really good Maine team. You know, you come from that sort of winning culture, you know, of a program like Maine. They've had a few years of really good, consistent success. I really do. I think this transfer, these transfer additions are kind of underrated. Even a guy like Adam Manji, I think he's going to push for playing time in net. You know, it was a 2.70 GAA. 0.9221 save percentage, only played in 7 games, but was 2-1 out of AIC, a program that's no longer around. This transfer class is also intriguing, and I feel like we say this, Jared, every week about teams in the CCHA, but there are so many intriguing teams in the bottom half of this conference, teams that are projected to be in the bottom half of this conference that and I said it last week on the CCHA show. I think this Lake State team, you know, it would surprise me if they're able to avoid the injuries, if they finish ninth in this conference. I feel like the bottom for this team is probably eighth, you know, and they could finish anywhere higher than that. It wouldn't surprise me if this is a team that gets home ice, you know, when the season's all said and done too.
I'll throw another name out there too, to kind of go back to the goalie front, Andrew Oki. I'm not entirely sure how to say his last name.
I think it's Oki.
I just think adding more to the goalie room to push Appleby is such a big factor. I mean, Appleby had a solid year last year at a 907 save percentage, 3 goals against average on the dot, won 10 games in his freshman year. But imagine how much better they could get, or he could get, and how much more they could get out of him if he's constantly having to fight for his spot in the net. And I think, you know, it goes back to just, it's a healthy competition. And if there's more healthy competition between him, Manji, Oki, it's a really, really good spot for Lake State to find that goaltending edge again. Avery, I'll kick it to you. When it comes to the goalie room, do you see a front runner to play you know, 25 plus games this year, or do you see it more as like a tandem situation where two guys are going to win it out?
I think it's definitely going to be that tandem situation, because just between Oak and Appleby, I think they're that's going to be who the tandem is. And then, you know, if need be, you know, they're going to rely on Manji to fill in any gaps that they have. But I think that Damon and Ko have done a really good job just kind of rounding out this whole goaltending issue. And I really expect to see a lot out of these guys.
You know, I want to follow up on that just a little bit, because, you know, I've gotten the chance to interview Damon a couple times. I mean, a class act guy, like just truly he's a guy who cares so much too about his program. And little Sault Ste. Marie gets forgotten about sometimes, I think, in this conference. And Damon has never once kind of shied away from talking about his guys. He's always kind of the first one to mention him. I mean, just what he's kind of done with this program, obviously a few years back, getting to the NCAA tournament, you know, can you sort of assess like just the hands that this program's in with having him at the helm?
I think it's definitely on the right track for sure. I mean, obviously the leadership at the college agrees as well. You know, that contract extension that we mentioned earlier, you know, I believe it would put him as the longest tenured coach if he serves out the whole contract through 2032.
Yeah.
But he definitely knows what he's doing. It's a long process, that's for sure. But, you know, just his achievements in the past, you know, obviously going all the way back to 2018, he won the Great Lakes Invitational against Tech, you know, first playoff appearance since the 90s. He definitely has a vision for this team, and I think he's putting that into motion finally.
Yeah. We'll kind of go back to this season too. When you look at this group and the schedule they have, is there a series you circle on the calendar, non-conference and in conference play, that you are looking forward to?
There's definitely a few. I think for non-conference,
we got Stonehill, we got Lindenwood, and then obviously they'll be in the GLI. Or no, they're not in the GLI this year, are they? That's that Quick Trip. That's that Quick Trip tournament they're playing.
Yeah, the Quick Trip tournament.
You can just say the Quick Trip tournament too. I mean, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, that's definitely, I believe it's Western in that one. Obviously Wisconsin. I don't know what the fourth team is, but that's going to be a battle for sure if we can find our groove and compete with that.
Who do they do they open? Have they announced who they open with in that?
They did. Let me try and find it here.
Yeah, that's a good question. That Quick Trip tournament's that's the one out in Milwaukee. And I know it's been announced.
At the Pfizer Forum, correct?
Yeah.
I believe so, yep.
That was a straight guess, if I'm being honest, boys.
Yeah, so they got Lake State, Western Michigan, Boston College, and Wisconsin. I mean, talk about a
holy cow. Gauntlet.
Yeah. I know that the games have to be announced too, right? Or have they not announced the games?
No, they definitely did. I have it here somewhere. First game is Boston College, Western Michigan, and then we face off against Wisconsin in the first round.
Yeah, okay.
That's a great jersey matchup. Wisconsin,
no doubt.
It is a fantastic jersey.
Dude, for sure.
that's great. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, you probably got the lesser of three evils. That's no shade at Wisconsin. Wisconsin's going to be a heck of a team this year. I mean, my top 20 USCHO poll, I think they're going to take a big step forward after maybe an underwhelming season last year. But if you get drawn into that Quick Trip tournament, I think you got the right draw there outside of BC and Western.
What about conference play? Is there a series in conference play that stands out to you? I don't know if we went that route yet.
Definitely the ones that stand out to me are going to be against Minnesota State. They were always close games last year, I think, aside from one. And at one point, we pushed them to overtime where they, you know, won against us. But it's definitely in the past 2 years, it's been close. Even in the Mason Cup playoffs, it's always been a fight to the end with them. And another one that I want to look at is obviously our rivalry with Northern Michigan. The Capital Cup is such a storied trophy, and that it's definitely going to be put into question this year with all the guys that Northern has picked up and how well they'll be able to produce.
It's kind of the forgotten rivalry in the UP a little bit because of Northern and Michigan Tech and the pure hatred between those two franchise, you know, those two fan bases. But it is such a really cool, because it's what is it? Isn't it aggregate scoring for
yeah.
all four games too? I love that. That's awesome. And I mean, there was, I think going into the fourth game last year, Lake State had like a 10-1 lead yeah. or something, and it's like, all right, let's see if Northern can put 10 goals in this game. But I do think it'll be a little bit closer this year, and that's nothing to do with Lake State. It's all to do with Northern Michigan and the steps forward they've taken. But yeah, that's a really good pick. But we'll do one more, and I'm gonna steal yours, Trent. And
yeah, go for it.
But you got to finish the sentence for us, Avery. It's Lake State will have a successful season if blank happens.
I kind of touched on it earlier. If we have good goaltending, that's for sure. But I think our defense needs to step up a little bit too. You know, looking at the pairings that we have, and we picked up a lot of big guys on defense. You know, people like Brian Huggins and Evan Bushy, Mike Brown, they're obviously returners, but Bushy and Brown, they're big guys. And you have Josh Guinness as well. But, you know, you're looking at Sam Bellinger and Randstrom. They're big guys, and I think that they're going to help us for sure in kind of that enforcing role.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have said the same thing. It comes down to the back end, goaltending and defense for this group. I think they're not going to have a whole lot of problems scoring, and that's been pretty consistent over the past couple of years. I mean, they were dynamite special teams last year for big stretches, and I don't question whether this team is going to be able to score. It's how are they going to be able to defend? Whether that comes down to goaltending or the blue line or backchecking forwards, whatever it is. That really, really does feel like the key this year. But if they're able to get it, we're talking about a team that could be in a home ice position at the end of the year. I mean, it all kind of rides on that back end. And so, I totally agree with you there, Avery.
I think too, just to touch on a little bit about what you said earlier about the conference schedule, you know, Minnesota State is the litmus test, I think, for a lot of teams in this league. And, you know, they get the luxury of playing them pretty early on in this season too. They get them in November. It's their third conference series of the season. Hey man, Minnesota State's got 17 guys they're replacing. There's no better time to get them than early in the season when they're trying to flesh all that out. And so I think it's going to be a very intriguing kind of first couple months of the season for programs like Lake State, for Minnesota State, for Bowling Green, for Michigan Tech, for a lot of these schools who we're seeing a lot of turnover with. You know, does that bode well for teams like Augustana and Bemidji State and St. Thomas who don't have nearly as much turnover? We'll find out. But I guess that kind of leads us into the rest of this stuff. Avery, we want to get your take on the conferences at large. I mean, we've talked to everybody on this show. We've asked them a lot of the same questions. Give us your top four CCHA teams, those teams that are going to have home ice by the end of the regular season. You don't have to give it to us in any order, but who are those top four teams that you see this season being the home ice teams? And then give us your pick to win the McNaughton Cup.
Yeah, definitely in my top four, it's pretty straightforward, I think, for the most part. I have St. Thomas, Michigan Tech, Augustana, and then Minnesota State. That's just kind of the staples, and I think Augustana has definitely made a name for themselves in the past couple of years, and they're going to come at it hard, especially now that they have that tournament eligibility.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I got St. Thomas at the top of mind, but I find it interesting. I think you might be the first person to not have Bowling Green in their top four. They were one of the there maybe might have been one or two others, but
Jared, do I have to remind you? You got to leave somebody out.
You have to leave somebody out, and that's what I was going to get to. It's the impossible math equation of how do you fit six teams into four spots, and that's kind of what it boils down to, because a lot of people didn't have Augustana. A lot of people are, you know, had Bowling
Green. Michigan Tech, Bowling Green. I mean, yeah.
Michigan Tech kind of went both ways. The only consistent one, I believe, was Minnesota State in the top four, because even some had St. Thomas completely out of their top four. But when it comes to, you know, making the tournament, how many teams or team, you know, whatever, you know, which team or teams are going to make the NCAA tournament this year, Avery?
I think we're going to have at least two, because – at the top, it's going to be a dogfight to the end with how much talent that's come into the league this year with all the CHL transfers and all that. And I think my winner for the McNaughton Cup is going to be St. Thomas. You know, they've been just growing under Rico Blasi, and they're definitely looking to make a statement name for themselves, especially with this new arena as well.
Yeah, and it kind of goes back to what Ryan Sieg said on our most recent episode before this one, but it's become the expectation there, and you don't want to leave the CCHA without having won anything in the CCHA, and I think that's a big point of emphasis, is that they have to come out of here with something. You have to win a McNaughton Cup. You have to win a Mason Cup. You know, one or the other, you know, for them, probably preferably both. But it just feels like it's their time to take that big step forward. And I think there'd be a lot of, it'd be pretty underwhelming for them if they didn't get at least one of them. But there's going to be at least 8 other teams that have something to say about it as well. So, yeah.
How about sleeper teams? Is there a team at the bottom, you know, that is Lake State that sleeper team? Like, do you see a team that's maybe getting slighted a little bit by some of these preseason polls that little doinks like Jared and I have put together? And is there a team that stands out that you feel like is kind of that sleeper that can make a push?
You know, I might sound a little bit biased here, but I think Lake State is kind of that sleeper team. You know, just the talent that they've been able to scout out. You know, obviously one of the lower recruiting classes out of the CHL, but the people that they did pick up, it's definitely going to show on the ice.
I mean, they got one USHL guy. I think, the past few years I've been writing about, when I've covered this league at large, about how they recruit the BCHL so well. And there's good talent in the BCHL and some of those minor junior hockey leagues in Canada. But they've got a USHL guy on this roster. Like you said, they've got a couple guys out of the OHL. obviously, the NAHL, BCHL, they have representation for both of those leagues as well. But I kind of agree with you, Avery, I really do see Lake State as possibly being that sleeper team. Another team, I mean, obviously I think as my sleeper pick would be Ferris State. Obviously bringing in all the transfers that they have. We've talked about it at length with Harrison Watt and others who have been on the show. I think they're a good sleeper, and, you know, Northern can surprise us, and I think get into the CCHA tournament. A rough year for them last year, obviously, with the coaching change late in the season, but the bottom of this conference is just as intriguing as what people are projecting to be the top of it. So, that's really good stuff. And take us through. I mean, I feel like we've asked Lake State players that we've had on the show. We know we had Connor Milburn on last year. I'm curious to know what you lived in the Sioux your whole life. Break it down, sell it to us. What makes the Sioux such a special place for you?
Really, it's just kind of the whole sense of community that you have here. You know, one of the second biggest town in the UP, but overall, it just still has a small town feel. Everybody knows everybody. You know, it definitely helps having a nice small campus with the enrollment that we have, and it's just the perfect little Uper town, really.
Yeah, no, it's the UP's been on our bucket list for I don't know how long, Trent, since we
started covering. I really want to go. Want to go in the summer, though. I don't want to go in the winter.
No, I get enough of the winter here in Bemidji. So, you know, I'm good on that. But I've heard the golf is good up there, so it's one of these summers. I just got to bite the bullet and go. But Avery, thank you so much for joining the show today. This was awesome. You gave us some great insight on what the Lakers are going to
appreciate
do
it, man.
Here, and best of luck with the THG blog. It's really cool to see more people getting involved covering this league on whatever level, right? Whether it's a reporter, a fan blog, just doing some stuff on Twitter, whatever it is, right? I mean, the more people covering this league, the better. So thank you for hopping in, and best of luck to you this year.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right. Once again, thank you to Avery Dotson for joining the show. And thank you to our producer, Perry Lascaris. Subscribe to the CCHA Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And subscribe to the CCHA on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter, at Trent Singer, and at Jared Robato BP. You can check out our work at BemidjiPioneer.com and SiouxFallsLive.com.